grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Christianity has had a huge impact on our society. That's the Western world as we know it stands on the shoulders of Christian thought. That's just a historical observation. When you look out into the world, when you survey the streets, and you see the actions of your neighbors, you can see the effect of God's word. You can see Yahweh's will, God's will, being carried out here and there. You can see people who value their neighbors, treating them with equity, respect, kindness, mercy, compassion. People of all stripes, from all different walks of life, humble and doing right by each other. They may not know it, but their behavior is an effect of God's word. And it's not just in the Western world either. God's word is the very thing that created this world we live in, as he spoke into existence all of creation. We heard the creation account read just last week. God's prophets proclaimed his word long, long before America existed. It was a long time between when Micah, for example, to use our Old Testament prophet, when Micah, for today, spoke God's word, and when that word reached the eardrums of European peoples. Long time in between. God's word has saturated the planet. Every corner of humanity has come into contact with it, so it would seem. And it's been so for millennia, thousands of years since the very beginning of creation. And so it isn't surprising that we see hints of God's will wherever we look, how he would have us behave toward our neighbor throughout random places in the world, being carried out by all kinds of people, regardless of whether or not they're Christian, whether or not they're familiar with what God has said, what he proclaims through his prophets and apostles, what he said with his very own lips when Jesus taught, which is all has been preserved for us in Scripture. We can see God's will being done here and there, but we don't know that good behavior that we see, that love and kindness that we see, that those forgiving actions that we witness, we don't know they have anything to do with the Christian God unless we know his word. We don't know good things happen to us, or at all, because of God's language of love, just by witnessing good things in the world and just by receiving kindness from our neighbor. We see his will in action, yes, and we experience it in action, yes, but we can't discern it apart from the source, apart from Scripture. It gives understanding to what we see. It shows us who we are and who God is. It shows us that he's all about justice, merciful kindness, truth, or as John put so succinctly, that God is love. And it shows us which neighborly traits are in fact good, and conversely, which ones are bad. Because as you all know, while we can see hints of goodness in this world, godliness, we also see an abundance of nasty. We see a whole lot of wickedness, distressing and hurtful behaviors. We experience them. We receive them. We know them. We see a whole lot of situations like the one described in our gospel lesson, where the master, who is God, obviously, was patient and showed pity on his servants. And he listened to the plea of the one, the case in point, right? how he pled for patience. And not only did he receive patience, but he received the complete forgiveness of his debt. God was just. The master was just with what was his to be just with. He showed the servant kindness. And instead of that compassion and that kindness and that forgiveness humbling the servant, filling him with the same love that he experienced that he could show to his neighbor, instead, the servant betrayed what had happened to him. He behaved contrary to it. He didn't forgive the person who owed him, as he was forgiven. But instead, what did he do? He seized him and he choked him like Homer Simpson and Bart. That's the picture. Every time I read this, I picture this. Ah, 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 right? He seized him and choked him and he threw him in jail. Yes! All of this, Jesus said in answer to Peter's question about how many times we're expected to forgive our brother when he sins against us. 7 times, Lord? Is that enough? That's a lot. No. 7 times 7, the Lord says. As if he's trying to say, don't ever stop. If 7 is the number you have in your mind, multiply it. Keep on going. Keep on forgiving. Don't ever stop, because God never stops forgiving you. God's will for us is that we have forgiveness in our hearts for our neighbor. That we do what is just, right, with what is ours. So then the question is, what is ours? What's mine? My heart. This is mine. More than anything else, this is me. Y'all don't know me like I know me. This is me. God would have us forgive from here, from me, as I have been forgiven from his heart. Just like Jesus taught us in his prayer, right? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. There it is. God's will for us is that we love our neighbor in this kind of way. Doing what is just, what is right. Loving kindness and walking humbly before God, our master, and therefore humbly with our neighbor. That's what we heard from the Old Testament reading, right? Micah 6:8 is powerful today. He, God, has told you, O man, O humanity, those wondering what you must do to please God. Do you have to sacrifice your child to please God? No. He has told you what is good, what pleases him. He requires of you, but only to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with him. That's all. That's all, right? That's all. We know what good looks like. God has described it for us in no uncertain terms. It's right there in black and white. This is what good is. This is what God would have us do. And that description, that goodness, is what has saturated this world. That's why you can look out and you can see acts of kindness in this broken and sinful world. This verse in the book of Micah has been called the epitome of the law. Every one of the Ten Commandments distilled down to one sentence. This is it. Isn't it beautiful? It is beyond beautiful. It dispels the thought that God is this mean old ogre with a bunch of burdensome laws that you have to keep to make him happy. That's not our God. He has established rules, yes, but as this text comes at them from a different angle, reveals the heart of those commandments, we see that they're meant for our benefit and for the benefit of our neighbor. If lived out, the Ten Commandments would extinguish all the nasty in this world. All the hurt that you feel from others up in smoke. If we lived out the commandments, leaving only the good that we catch glimpses of here and there. Justice, loving kindness, which in the Hebrew is so much more than the English word kind. In the Hebrew, this word for kindness is forgiveness, mercy, pity, compassion. It's removing of debt. It's saying all is well between us. Like what we see lived out on the cross, where Christ does this very thing. He lays down his life for you willingly while you were still his enemy, Scripture says. And he says, it's all good. I forgive you. I have kindness towards you. Despite you hating me and mocking me, I love you. We see that this kindness from Micah 6:8 is a heartfelt love for others. A sacrificial service without any strings attached. Just pure, unadulterated, selfless love. We're just coming off of Veterans Day. Those folks could teach us something about pure, unadulterated, selfless love and sacrifice. They are walking examples of Christ's love. Justice, loving kindness, and a humble walk with God. Not proud, not arrogant, not assuming, just at peace. In the comfort of our Creator and Christ, our Savior Jesus. Like I said, Micah 6:8 is a summary of God's law. And we see that it's a good thing, this law of our God. It's beneficial for all of humanity, and it is beautiful. It cultivates love. How life would be so exceedingly good if all of us could just do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. But there's the point of tension, right? Because we know we don't live this way. We have firsthand experience with neighbors treating us unjustly, of our friends and our family not being kind to us, not being merciful toward us. We recognize people are proud, not humble. Now here's the real punch in the gut. Because as you reflect on that reality, you know you're guilty of these very things that cause pain to other people. That you inject injury upon your neighbor. It's not all one way. It's a two-way street. We want justice for all, we say. We want others to take pity on us when we screw up. But we know here we don't always do that ourselves. We know in our heart of hearts how we fail to do the very thing we want to see done. So the question then becomes, can we? Can we do justice for all, love kindness, and walk humbly with God and our neighbor? The short answer is no. You can't at all. It's impossible for us to keep God's law. That's the point of God's law. Jesus just jumped into my hand. Thank you. I guess he knows I'm about to hit the law head. I need the gospel. That's the point of the law. To show us that on our own, we're part of the problem. That in our sin, we're guilty of contributing to the hurt in this world. Thankfully, God's word is not just law, but also gospel. And it jumps out at us. Christ Jesus does do justice. He does love kindness. And he does walk humbly with his God. He is forgiving and compassionate, merciful, respecting all life, and valuing all people. Not just those who agree with him. He values all people. He kept the law for each and every one of us every single day of his life. For you, every day of his life. And his keeping of that law led him to his death. And it didn't look that pretty. It was corporal punishment for you. That's not law, that's gospel. He suffered unjustly. He endured not kindness, but hateful brutality in a world in short supply of kindness. And this is what we call his humiliation, his humbling. And he did that for a bunch of puffed up, proud people like us. He died on the cross for you because you are unable to live out Micah 6:8, and he knows it. Because you've been like the unforgiving servant in our gospel reading. You've been Homer Simpson strangling Bart. That's why he was crucified for you. And when he finished living out his life under the law perfectly on his cross, he breathed out his spirit upon us for you. So that you can have faith. Faith in the truth that he always upholds justice and he does it on your behalf. That he is always loving, kind, merciful, always forgiving on your behalf. That he humbled himself before his Father, and in his humiliation he walked with his Father without fault or failure on your behalf. His footsteps, he gives them to you. Those are your footsteps. And by giving us his Spirit, he has given us faith in him and the strength we need to even want to keep the law. He gives us strength to want to do that. We heard Paul say in our Philippians reading, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." That is, when the Lord returns. He was speaking to the Christians in Philippi who had received the Holy Spirit, who were baptized, who believed, people just like you. Who began the good work in them? The Holy Spirit that Jesus breathed out from the cross, sent from the Father. As John 6 says, it's the Spirit who gives life, not the flesh. The Spirit gave the Christians in Philippi, and he gives the Christians in Ferndale. No matter where you live, you're all here now. He gives us the ability to start to live according to his will. By his power, we are able to recognize what that will is. Justice. Forgiving kindness. And humility before God and one another. Or as Jesus put it, to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. To put them first. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they began to see that loving their neighbor was the will of God. This, dear friends, this is what Jesus did for us in his sacrifice on the cross. He loved his neighbor, you. The world, all of us. His death is God doing justice as sins, wrongs, debts, trespasses are rightly paid for. And his death is God loving kindness, forgiving us of those sins, hearing our pleas for patience, and then wiping the slate clean because it's been paid for. And his death is God walking humbly with God, the Son and the Father with the Spirit, all working together for the sake of good. For the sake of saving you and making you good. And you have been saved. And even though you know down here it doesn't feel like it, in your heart of hearts, you are good. Because Christ lives within you. And now, in closing, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, what is good, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Or to put it in other words, I don't know if I can do any better than Paul did. In fact, I know I can't. I pray that you will continue in what the Holy Spirit has begun in you. He has begun something great. namely in the doing of justice toward your neighbor, doing right by them, in the loving of kindness toward your neighbor, and a humbly walking with God for the benefit of your neighbor, that your hearts may overflow with the forgiveness that God has for you, and that love may be a blessing to all those around you, as it is already a blessing to me and those I see before me. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.